I want to carry on this morning just to finish off, actually, a series that we've been doing of teachings through the book of Ephesians. And isn't God's timing absolutely wonderful? I just love the way that, you know, as we've gone through this series of teachings, and we've come to this point now where I'm about to do a teaching that is about prayer, that these verses of Scripture come just right before our time, our season of prayer. And I'd encourage every one of you to really engage with this season of prayer, to realize that this is where the life is. If we are people of prayer, this is where spiritual life begins and where spiritual life grows, where spiritual life is maintained. This is it. God has changed my life and our lives, hasn't he? When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he changes us wonderfully. He gives us a new position in him. Children of the living God, and he calls each and every one of us to a life of prayer. I'll read from the New Living Translation from Ephesians 6, verse 18 to 20. And it says this, it says, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so that I can boldly explain the mysterious plan that the good news is for Jew and Gentile alike. I'm in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. I just think this is wonderful. Paul isn't just putting a full stop at the end of his letter, is he, when he talks about prayer? He's saying, everything I've been teaching you, everything we've been writing about and hearing about in this letter comes to this, our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship to God the Father, who we are in him. And now what are we going to do about it? It's time to pray. It's time to pray for me, he says, because he knows that if he just gets up and speaks, his words will be empty unless they're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Unless God does something and takes a hold of these words and makes them alive in people's hearts and in people's lives. If we're doing anything in the kingdom of God, we should be praying. If we're teaching our Sunday school children, it's not good enough just to say a quick prayer before our Sunday school class. Pray for every individual child. Seek God for everyone. If we're doing any work in the kingdom of God, soak it in prayer, because we need God. We need God to move, don't we, in people's hearts. We need the Holy Spirit active in our lives. We need to realize that we cannot do it without him. We rely entirely, entirely on God. Otherwise, what are we doing? I've come to the realization, I hope we all have to some degree, that without God, without prayer, without seeking him, with all of our hearts, we're just relying on ourselves, our flesh. And that ain't good enough. It will get exhausted for the kingdom of God rather than empowered and equipped for God and to serve him. Paul's explained, hasn't he, who we are in Christ. We're saints. We're saints. We're chosen, adopted into his family, children, holy and without blame. We're forgiven. We're granted a most wonderful inheritance. Paul prays at the beginning of the letter that we're flooded with light, that our understanding is opened. This can be our prayer too, you know, that our hearts are flooded with light and with understanding as we come before God, as we read his word, as we pray. Lord, open my heart up to hear and see and understand what the Spirit is saying to me and to us. We need this, don't we? Thank you. He also says that we've been made alive who were once dead, raised to a place of great honor in the heavenly realms, seated with Christ. By grace alone we're saved. Isn't this great news? He explains his great plan for us and the church in this letter. God's got a plan for the church, hasn't he? Amen. We're his body. We're the body of Christ. Every single member of this church is called of God for his purpose and his plan. And as a body, when we're united in prayer, when we seek after God with all of our hearts, do you know what the Bible teaches us? He's building us into a holy temple, fit for his dwelling. But I tell you what, the devil does not like this one little bit. He wants to destroy and kill and steal, doesn't he? He doesn't want us to be joined together with one heart in prayer. And more I realize just the importance of joining together in prayer. And when we pray, just having hearts that are really joined together in the Spirit, just longing for God's will to be done here on earth as his perfect will is done in heaven. Prayer is a special gift. It's like an advance on our inheritance, isn't it? One day, there'll be no barriers whatsoever between ourselves and God. We will see him and be in and live in perfection, the perfection of heaven. But even now, on earth, there needn't be barriers with God. Did you know that? He wants us to have unbroken, unhindered fellowship with him. And to be involved in every area of our lives, to have fellowship with us, intimate fellowship with us, so that we hear what is on his heart, and he also hears what's on our heart. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when you're in fellowship with God, when you love him, you're in worship. Somehow the two gets kind of mixed up together, don't they? We want the will of God. We desire the will of God. And he's kind of smiling, thinking, this is just what I want to. You know, this is just grace that you want what I want. And we pray according to his perfect will. And his plans and his purposes are accomplished. The call to pray is for every single believer, regardless of our age, our spiritual maturity. Every true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has access to the Father through his shed blood. And prayer is something, as it said in this passage, that we can do all the time. We can remain open channels for him to work in us and through us throughout our day. God wants us to be open channels through prayer, doesn't he? Hearing what he's saying. And we may not see all the results of our prayers, but I'll tell you what, there's things happening as we pray in the spirit realm. Prayer can do anything, anything that God can do. That's good news, isn't it? Anything at all that God can do, prayer can do. The power of prayer doesn't lie in the prayer itself, but in the God who stands at the other end of our cry. This is our God. We shouldn't get hung up about our words too much. What we need to know is our God. We need to know him, who he is and who we're praying to. And we are praying, aren't we, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, all power, all authority in his name. There is no other God. These songs that we've been singing today, I just sense that we're starting to have our eyes open to the glory and majesty and wonder of God Almighty as we worship him. He's the God of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob. He's the God of the Bible. He's the God of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the creator of heaven and earth. This is our God. We're not speaking to some mystic deity that so many religions pray to. We're speaking to Almighty God. He made you. He made me. He created this world. He created this universe. And he says, you and I have access into his presence. We're identified as children of God. We're adopted into his family. We wear the family crest. We have on us the identification of the Lord Jesus Christ with the family of God. Do we realize this? Do we realize as well that we're ambassadors for him? We're his spokespeople. We're his witnesses here on earth. We carry the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We carry the presence of God within us. We carry authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the devil looks at you and looks at me, he doesn't see what you and I see when we look in the mirror in the morning. That's a relief, isn't it? Do you know what he sees? When we know the Lord Jesus Christ and we're clothed in this heavenly armor, he sees a warrior. He looks at us and he sees a warrior of God. And he doesn't like that very much. And you know, when two of these warriors agree anything on earth, that it's done by our Father in heaven. What a privilege this is. What incredible authority we have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we start to realize who we're talking to, who is at the other end of our prayers, our prayer lives change significantly. We don't have to start thinking about big, long prayers and attaching scriptures to our prayers or this or that or the other. We don't have to have a form of prayer. What we have is a relationship with God. We don't have to copy anybody else in prayer. We can be ourselves in God and pray. And as we're praying, what happens is these scriptures and these, if you like, echoes of the word of God start to come through in our prayers, don't they? The Holy Spirit can remind us of scriptures, can show us what to pray, can teach us what to pray in our relationship with him. We flow in God. But you know, some of the most powerful prayers that have ever been spoken have been the shortest. We don't have to have big, long prayers and complicated prayers to do anything in the heavenly realms. We just need to know who we're praying to. Sometimes I think of my prayers and think, oh, that was pretty pathetic in its words, but I know who I was praying to. And this is the way it should be, folks. We shouldn't get hung up so much about whether our prayer sounded good, but actually that we've connected with God, that he's heard us, and we realize he's heard us. And when we come together to pray, and it says, doesn't it, that whatsoever things you ask for, we ask for things. We don't just pray vague thoughts into the air in the hope that some mystic force will catch these things, make sense of them, and things might or might not happen. We know when we pray to God that he hears our prayers. He hears us. And the devil would have you and I believe that God isn't that good. That he isn't actually as good as the Bible teaches us. But I want you to know he is. I want you to know God is exceptionally good. He is wonderful. God is good all of the time. All of the time God is. This is the truth, folks. Psalm 107, doesn't it? It speaks about coming to this wonderful God, approaching the God who is good, worshipping the God who is good. And throughout that psalm, it comes back again and again and again to this realization that despite all the difficulties, all the hardships, whatever we might be facing in life, when the seas rise up and the tides are high and things seem impossible for us, that we come back to this phrase again, that I know my God is good. And I know that whatever happens as a result of our prayers, that God's will is good and pleasing and perfect all of the time. And we might not understand at the time what the answer might be. We might be thinking one thing, but I can tell you from personal experience, and I know many, many of us here, perhaps all of us perhaps, can say that whatever hardships and whatever difficulties that you and I have been through, I can look back and say, God gave the best answer. God's answer was absolutely perfect for my situation. Every single time it has been. And as difficult as the circumstances might be, God is good. And God wants to bring good out of what might seem the impossible and the difficult and the hard things of our life. Because God will be glorified in these things. God wants to be glorified. He wants to show himself to be a loving father who has our best interests at heart, doesn't he? Now, the people that we read about in the scriptures who were used of God, powerfully used of God, were always mighty in prayer. And I want to encourage every one of us here today. I want to encourage us to get excited about this gift that's in our hands. A gift that puts at our disposal the goodness of God. I love the fact that we enter into his courts with thanksgiving. We enter into his presence with praise. And why? Because we know that our God is good. We know that we can come to him and give thanks even in the darkest and most difficult circumstances because we know that God's will is so good. And the answers to our prayer will be just so pleasing to him. He just wants us to be honest, doesn't he? And real with him. He's called us into a relationship with him. A living relationship with God. Personal relationship with Almighty God who we've just spoken about. Abraham was a man of prayer, and angels came down and spoke to him. Jacob's prayer at Peniel, his brother was out to kill him, but through his prayers, his brother Esau's heart was softened. When Hannah prayed, Samuel was born. She cried out from the depth of her heart. She didn't know the answer, but she left that place of prayer, got off her knees after weeping before God, knowing that God had heard her cry, and God answered. But you see, there was a purpose in this pain that she was feeling and that she had, the sense of loss that she had. There was a purpose that God wanted a prophet. God wanted a man of God to come from her womb. God had a plan for her, and all she had to do was just give it all to him. And the blessing came wonderfully. But not only that, as well as the very fruit of prayer coming through in the birth of Samuel, that she then went on to have 5 more children, 3 more boys and 2 girls. Isn't this great? He just opened up a blessing. The floodgates opened because she cried out to God in her time of need. Elijah's prayer closed up heaven for 3.5 years so it didn't rain. And then he prayed again and the heavens opened and it rained. Through his simple prayer, only a few lines of prayer, God came and came and burnt up the sacrifice. The prophets of Baal had been shouting and cutting themselves and screaming and doing all of their stuff. But what Elijah did is he just prepared the altar of God. He just made a right altar before God, straightened things out, did as God had said, and then he prayed. We don't have to go shouting and dancing. We have to have lives that are right with God. Where's our heart? You see, I believe our lives are prayer, our whole lives. If we're out of sorts with God, it affects our prayer life, doesn't it? If there's wrong in our lives and unforgiveness, it affects our prayer life. It's unfruitful because God is interested in the whole of our lives. And he's refining us and changing us and transforming us into his very image because he wants unbroken fellowship with every one of us. This is great news, folks. Elisha prayed and life came back to a dead child. And surely as we pray, we can pray the dead to life in this world. Isn't it God's will that every soul should be saved. It's his will that the lost find Christ. But we've got to pray. We've got to seek God for the lives of our neighbors and our neighborhoods, our country, our world. The people of Nineveh fasted, didn't they, at the word of God through Jonah, and God spared that wicked city. Samson prayed and his strength returned to him. And God, you know, can strengthen any backslider who returns to him. Daniel prayed and the angel Gabriel came to him. He was and said to him, "You're greatly beloved of God. The secrets of heaven were revealed to this man." And he was told of God's son who was going to be cut off for the sins of his people. Daniel's prayers helped him to administer the affairs of a great nation, a great kingdom. And it even sent an angel to shut the mouth of lions. This is prayer, folks. This is the power of prayer. Nothing is too hard for God in prayer. Cornelius prayed, and Peter was sent to tell him the words that saved him, his household, and brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Why would he choose Cornelius? Why couldn't he just pick some random guy, some random Gentile person? Well, it said, didn't it, that your prayers and your arms have been seen and heard by God. Our lives are prayer. What we do with our lives, our time, our money, our priorities, our lives are prayer. What we do with our lives says an awful lot about whether we really have a relationship with Father God. And he wants us to live for him, doesn't he? To give ourselves to him. This is the life. We get one life, folks, one chance at this. You know, we don't get another chance. We've got all the time to celebrate now, but also in glory. So why would we waste our time on things that matter so little when we can pray and seek God for the things that really do matter in this world? Peter was on his roof, wasn't he, praying and seeing this vision of a sheep being let down with all these animals. He heard what God was saying in answer to the prayers of a man who didn't know the Lord at that time, Cornelius. Isn't this incredible stuff? God's plan is amazing, and it all comes together when we seek him, when we pray, we hear what he's saying. When we see, and when believing prayer went up to God, then answers came down from him, didn't they? Paul and Silas were in prison. And what did they do? They prayed. They sang praises and the place was shaken. The jailer was converted. And the words of that jailer, you know, ring through from every generation. What must I do to be saved? How many people must have been saved through the words of that jailer that's cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" Because they just prayed and sang to God in a prison. And what about Jesus in prayer? Well, we could go on for the rest of this morning. So at his baptism, he was praying when heaven opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him and God spoke. He was praying when he was transfigured. He was praying when he raised Lazarus from the dead and he said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me." He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when time again answers came down from heaven to him. And when angels came again to comfort him. The people God uses for his purposes are people who spend time with him, who have time for him, love him, worship him, seek him with all of their hearts. Life isn't just about passing the time of day, is it? But it's understanding what the will of the Lord is for this short time that we have on earth. I don't have too much time. I'm about halfway through, so I'm not going to finish today. But I want to just tell a story. I'll lighten things a little bit, shall I? There's a story of a magician who was working on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. And the audience would be different every single week. And so the magician allowed himself to do the same tricks time and time again. But there was a problem. The captain's parrot saw every single show, every single performance, sat there watching. And the captain's parrot started to shout out with every trick that the magician said. He said,
"I can see all the cards if you just put them under the table. What about the little bag down there?"
And he started revealing all of these tricks. And the magician was getting really angry now. How dare? You know, he's furious, but he couldn't do anything about this because it was the captain's parrot. So he was stumped. But anyway, one day there was a storm and a great shipwreck. And he was stuck on a piece of floating wood, a bit of wreckage from the boat. And you'd never guess who was stuck on the other end of the plank with him. It was the parrot. And anyway, he stares at this parrot. And the parrot is staring back at him. And there's a big standoff and a whole day of staring at each other with anger and hatred in their little hearts. And this went on for a day and then another day and then another day and 3 days. And then eventually the parrot speaks. And he says,
"Okay, I give up. Where have you put the boat?"
The parrot, there's a moral to this story. The parrot had been around that magician long enough to know every trick. And Jesus tells us that a student is like his teacher. I did that well, didn't I? A student is like his teacher. And he needed to spend time with Father. And so do we, don't we? God is actively and purposefully looking out for people who earnestly depend on him and pray in order to fulfill his purposes. 1 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Hebrews 11:6, "He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him." Satan's going to do all he can to prevent prayer. But you know what? We need to do all we can to stay in right relationship with our Father, don't we? And to pray. I'm going to stop now, actually, because I wanted us to put into practice prayer this morning. I wanted us to pray for some folks who really do need a touch of God. And you see, God has called us as a church to pray. And when we agree, as I said before, in prayer, great things can happen. Many of us have been praying, for example, for hope in Billings Church. And, you know, I had a really encouraging text that's the prayers that we've been praying. You know, we believe for answers here, don't we? But it's encouraging that we're starting to see some progress. But we want to see breakthrough. We want to see people healed who are sick. Did you know it's God's will to heal the sick? He wants to heal the sick. But we need to be those who pray. He wants to restore the broken. But we need to be those who pray for the broken.